Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Score!
Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run. Right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Now, when you pinch hit, it's tough. It's tough. You get, you know, called last minute. Coach hits the right hand. I come in the game. But I'm always put at ease when I see my guy right down the line. When I see my guy, Lawrence Holmes, standing right there, I know everything's going to be all right. Because no matter if I perform well or poorly, he's going to have my back. And that's why I'm glad and we get to bring him on right now. Loho, what up?
What's happening, dude? What the hell's going on over there this morning?
Exactly. Exactly, dude.
Sean. Like, Sean's like, could you please do something? Just come and hang out on the show. And I'm like, yeah, what happened?
And then I told Sean, because he's like, yo, Loho. And I said, listen, I want Loho on my show. I was like, let's not waste him on Hit and Run. I said, tell him. And then, you know, but hey, you know, it's tough. You gotta make it work. You know how it is in this business. You got to make it work.
Yeah, no doubt. And I love being on Hit and Run. Barry Rosner occasionally would just call me and be like, hey, do you want to come and hang out on Hit and Run? And I'd be like, sure. And then I'd just come into the studio and hang out. I would have come in, but this caught me a little bit off guard. Yeah. So I told Sean, I was like, just give me a few minutes to get home and I'll get it all set up and we can go from there.
Where were you at? You were eating some good breakfast in Hyde Park or what?
No, I went to go see my parents out in the burbs. So I was coming back from that and there's some White Sox stuff. And I'm like, all right, I got a little bit of time between now and then to hang out with my guy Gabe. So what's up? Like, what are we talking about today?
Honestly, just the state of Chicago baseball right now. I know you and I are passionate about a particular side of town. But, you know, just Chicago as a whole. I think, you know, the trade deadline is a couple days away. I think we've been oversaturated with a lefty power bat and relievers out of the bullpen. But I'm more so curious, just like, what's your take on the state of the teams right now, starting with the White Sox?
Well, here we are at 100 games with the White Sox, and I think a lot of people are still holding on to the idea of what we thought this team was going to be as the season began. When you look at this team, you're coming off of winning the American League Central, looking like a group of guys that is just starting to come into their prime. Everyone's sitting there going World Series contender at the beginning of the season, and for good reason, and they were doing that. And then this team stumbles and bumbles out of the gate, and you're thinking, well, it's just a couple of weeks where it's going to be bad, or they're going to get better when the weather warms up and all that stuff. Their problems are so systemic. Now, when the interactions that I have with most White Sox fans has been, I want it to happen, but I don't necessarily believe that it's going to happen.
Cautiously optimistic, Loho.
Yeah, and I think that when I'm watching games, when they win, like yesterday's game, there wasn't joy, it was relief. Like, you know, like after Friday night's game and they struggled to hit the ball yesterday, shout out to Gavin Sheets, who had a great game last night, put them in a position to win it. And you start looking around, like, Gabe, the thing that gets me mad is folks have been looking at the schedule and be like, well, this is the soft part of the schedule.
Yeah, I was one of those guys.
And then you look at the White Sox record, it's 22-25 against teams under 500 this year. So you tell me who's looking at whom and saying this is the soft part of the schedule. If you're Oakland, you're looking at the White Sox going, we got a chance to win some games. And they've played like it. And that's the thing. Like, when you see moments inside of games where you feel like the other team is doing a better job of wanting it more than the White Sox, like, that's messed up. And there were times throughout this past season, whether it was the Twin series here, the Baltimore series here, Cleveland, every time they seemingly play Cleveland, you see those teams, they're willing to push the White Sox. They're willing to take the extra base. And last night, you saw one of the weaknesses of the White Sox in this kind of quasi-resting thing that goes on with their players, where Eloy hits a ball that two hops the wall. Not one hop, two hops the wall.
Right.
And he's barely on first base. Now, granted, it's a really good outfielder.
And it was a rocket.
But you know that he can't go 100% out of the box. And that cost them a run-scoring opportunity. But because he was on first, then the ball that Vaughn hits, which ends up being an automatic double, he's stuck on third. They're not able to bring him home. Where if he were standing on second base, obviously he would have scored. So it's stuff like that where you go, man, this team, they're missing something. Like, you always feel like they're missing like a little bit of something. And the hope is that in the last 62 games of the season, they can find it.
And it's funny because I mentioned that they've been playing down to their competition, where you said it a second ago. Other teams that are below 500 are looking at the White Sox like a measuring stick and playing tougher, because they're saying to themselves, well, yeah, we've had a tough season, but against these guys, we could beat these guys. And then they end up playing harder, where the Sox in that moment aren't necessarily feeling the same way. But against the Twin series right before the All-Star break, I felt that the Twins had the pressure going into that four-game set, where the White Sox were a little bit more comfortable, a little more cool, and they felt like they could handle themselves accordingly. They did, with some big blowout wins. But it's just, it's the splitting. It's the not, like you said, it's those moments. Because the inning before Eloy hit that bomb, they had an opportunity to score some runs if that out didn't happen. So Eloy would have been up in that moment. And so it's just so many things that you question with the team itself. And you can point to a lot of things, Loho, but the reality is they just seem to be a 500 team. They just seem to be splitting with everybody and giving up games where they shouldn't, and not necessarily putting their foot on the throat of respective teams that they're playing. And you're right, with this stretch, I mean, Kansas City, Texas, Kansas City, even before that with Colorado and Oakland, you were saying to yourself, yeah, you're still saying to yourself, right? Yeah, this is it, baby. This is it. This is our winning 8 out of 10, you know, or going, you know, out of these 19 games against teams that are below 500, you know, you're going 15-4. It's just, you continue to think that, but then they end up breaking your heart. I'm curious what your thoughts are on Cueto and Lynn. I feel like they're the same person right now, where I think Cueto's a little bit better and has been pitching a little bit better. But in terms of, you know,
no, veterans, I don't think they're the same person right now. I trust Johnny Cueto way more than I trust Lance Lynn right now. And that's saying something. You know, that this team committed to Lance Lynn. Obviously, he's been dealing with coming back from that knee injury. Watching Johnny Cueto pitch has been beautiful. He's an artist. And you're seeing a guy pitch, not throw, pitch. And you got a bunch of guys on this team that have got incredible stuff. Like Dylan Cease and Michael Kopech have great stuff. Liam Hendricks has great stuff. Kendall Graveman has great stuff. When you see a guy that is going out there, I joked about it on Twitter last night, he's doing it with duct tape and guile, you know?
Right.
Like, he's doing it by upsetting hitters' timing and changing his motion up and being really good about where he's spotting the ball. I really enjoy watching him pitch. He gives them an opportunity to win every game that he starts. And even last night, where their starter was fairly dominant in the game, but he only goes 5 innings. Well, Cueto gets you into the seventh,
yeah,
and kept you there long enough so that your offense could mount a rally and you could beat out the worser team with their mistakes. So Johnny Cueto has been like a found $20 bill, man. Like, you're doing laundry and you're like, oh, let me clean out these pockets, and you find $20. That's Johnny Cueto right now. He's been. I figured after like the first 5 starts, he had already paid for himself for the most part. And now, if you're starting a playoff series, he might start game 2 for you.
I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, I do the Southsiders podcast here on the Odyssey Network. And I said, maybe like 2 starts ago, before Lance Lynn pitched, I said, I don't know if Lance Lynn is going to make that rotation. And Shane thought I was absolutely crazy, and I brought it up to Spiegel when I was working with him, and I said, because the first question you're going to ask yourself is, are the Sox, or any playoff team for that matter, going to a 5-man rotation? The answer is no. You're just not, right? And so when you're looking at that 3-game set, obviously I'm talking as if the Sox are going to make the playoffs. And then,
yes.
Right. And I heard the silence, and I was like, okay, let me say this before Lawrence jumps down my throat right now. But
let's hope it's not in Toronto. And because then
you got no CC right there, right?
And no Graveman.
And no Graveman. So again, but in that moment, you're saying to yourself, you know, how does Lance Lynn, that's the question I have for you. How does Lance Lynn, assuming they make the playoffs, let's assume that it's not against the Toronto Blue Jays, but where does Lance Lynn fit into that playoff rotation or that playoff roster if he can't hold his own for the remainder of the season?
The thing is that of the guys that struggle, I have the most faith in Lynn to turn it around. I think that Giolito's problems are problems that will end up getting rectified in the offseason, because I think that he changed the way that he trained and his body was different, and his body didn't, so far, it doesn't seem like his body has adapted to the way that it's changed and been an effective weapon for him. So I expect that he'll probably go back to whatever type of training he was doing beforehand and then come back and be corrected. His velocity drop has been noticeable, and because of that, it's allowed people to hit his changeup more effectively, because they can now, because he's not throwing 95, 96, they can go, well, we'll look for the changeup and adjust to the fastball.
Right.
And they're doing that to him. With Lynn, I just think that all of this, like, since he's been back, has been spring training plus the beginning of the season. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because he missed basically half a season. So I think that there's still a ramping up process. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I like Lance Lynn's stuff. I like that he only throws basically one pitch and flips it 4 different ways. I think that still plays, but I think it's going to take a couple more starts for him to get back into the rhythm.
It's the early inning struggles for me. It's the bad taste in my mouth from last year's playoffs. It's those things that are lingering, that as I'm seeing these games pile up, low, that I'm like, I don't know. I just don't even want him near this team. I don't want the White Sox down 4-0 in the second to the Houston Astros or to the Toronto Blue Jays for that matter. Like, I don't want to have to deal with that. I want to at least have a competitive game. And those are the things that have been missing from the White Sox every time Lynn is on the bump. But I don't know. It's tough, man. It's tough. With the trade deadline approaching, do you think there's going to be something that happens between the Cubs and the Sox?
I've been thinking a lot about this particular series, and not that one series should decide things for the White Sox, but I was wondering, as they were losing yesterday's game, like, wow, they lose this series. What if they were to get swept? Now they flipped that. Like, shout out to Gavin Sheets. They flipped that. So now they walk into today's game with an opportunity to win the series, which is what Ozzie Guillen was talking about last week. I was hanging out with Ozzie over on the TV side. He said, just win series. Like, that's all you have to do. So here's another chance for them to win a series. And I wonder if they lose this series, does it change Rick Hahn's perception? Like, does he look at his team and go, here we are at 50 and 51. I truly believe that we can win a World Series this year after looking at this team be 50 and 51. Now, I would say that because of where guys are from a contract standpoint, that it is incumbent upon the White Sox to try and win the 2022 World Series.
Yes.
That you have to start looking at it that way. And I would love to see them continue to push. But that means some hard decisions have to be made about who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. I still think that there's a shot. I think there's still a lot of talent on this team. And something's missing and not allowing it to click. Maybe it's the wrong mix of guys. And you can change some of that with some smart trades. It does bum me out that one of the strengths, the ideal strengths of this team was supposed to be bullpen. You were supposed to be set between 7, 8, and 9 because you had Joe Kelly and Kendall Graveman and Liam Hendricks. And now the White Sox might have to go out and get bullpen help. That was something that I didn't think that we were going to see. But if they're serious about this, they've got to figure out a way to bridge the ball to Liam Hendricks. So that they need help. They need a left-hander in that bullpen. I think they need another starter. And quite honestly, I think they probably need another bat. That's a lot to get done in one trade deadline. But if you want to win, I don't see, Gabe, my thing is I wanted the White Sox to really go for it. I wanted them in the offseason to do what they needed to do to make their roster as good as it can be. And I think they didn't do that. I think that even walking into the season, you were probably a starter short. Oh, obviously, at least one starter short because you went and got Johnny Cueto, and thank God he's been good. So you're probably two starters short. I thought they needed an everyday second baseman, and I thought that they needed someone that was going to play right field for them. I still think that they've got some components that make you feel like they can win, but you got to go for it. Like, if you're in your window, so go ahead and go for it. As for the Cubs, we all know what this is now. Like, the Cubs are they got Robertson and Contreras, maybe someone wants Patrick Wisdom, Ian Happ, and they're trying to get the most and best deal of young talent back for those guys. And I feel bad for Cubs fans because how many goodbyes they've had to say over the last 2 years. Like, for real, man. Like, it's messed up.
It's tough.
Like, it's messed up. When you look around and you're like, oh, like, all of the guys that I fell in love with as a Cub fan, other than Kyle Hendricks and Jason Hayward, who Cubs fans hate anyway, like, all those guys are just going to be gone, you know, at the end of this whole thing.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? And seeing Wilson Contreras, I think, over the last 4 weeks, really be emotional about his time as a Cub coming to an end, I would understand how any Cub fan would be like, man, this is messed up. And there's no track record of trust when it comes to Jed Hoyer. And I'm not trying to diss, because I actually really like Jed. I think he's a smart dude. But we all know that it was Theo that was doing the thing when he was at the top of the organization. Therefore, Jed can only be judged on the choices that he's made since he's been in charge.
Right.
And if you're a Cub fan and you're looking at the one loss record and you're looking at the guys that have left, like, and guys have been traded, like Yu Darvish, you walk away and you go, man, I need to see more. I need to see some benefits to some of these trades, some dividends on this investment that's being made in the younger players. So my hope is that Cubs fans will get that there is something major that they can get back for Wilson Contreras and Ian Happ, and they can start the next part of the next great Cubs team. But I recognize how unfair this has been for them to say goodbye to Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez and Kyle Schwarber and Wilson Contreras and probably Ian Happ. That's hard, and it's messed up.
He's Lawrence Holmes from Burns Ian Holmes right here on 670 The Score. I appreciate you helping my pinch hit out today.
Oh, man, anytime, man, anytime. And, let me get my plug in, man, since I'm here.
I like it.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show, 10 a.m. to noon, man. We get it in. We have a lot of fun on our show. We act a fool sometimes on our show. Then sometimes we get super serious. But 10 a.m. to noon, we be on the Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. We out here. So be with us. And on Wednesdays, Layla Rahimi is in the house, and we burn it down.
Ow! I like it, man. Use the time wisely. That's what you got to do. Lo, thanks for hanging out with me, man.
All right, Gabe. Be good, man.
I appreciate you. Lawrence Holmes, putting the state of Chicago baseball into perspective, and everything he's saying is absolutely right. You would have loved for the Sox team to be constructed from the very beginning instead of having to make multiple moves at this trade deadline. And you feel for the Cubs fans that are seeing remnants of their 2016 team just fade away each and every year and having to start anew. That's what's going on right there. He's Lawrence Holmes, of course, Burns. You know, I'm Gabe Ramirez, filling in for Matt Spiegel. And speaking of our White Sox, we have the pleasure of breaking down today's game and what has been happening over this past weekend. From James Fox, my guy from the Sox Machine, I know we're going to have some fun and some hyped up energy to continue this baseball conversation. We'll do that on the other side right here on Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score.
Hit and Run Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
You can take a ball in and hit it 500 feet and take a sail and break a pitch away and hit it to the opposite field. I mean, you got a chance to be high average hitter with production. But, you know, I thought that... I know they had some zeros on us, but, you know, we made some good contact.
I don't want to play any more Tony La Russa because, I mean, did anyone out there understand what he just said?
Did the reporters in front of him didn't know what he said?
Talking about Gavin Sheets. And out of no shade, I just, you know, maybe if I had the transcript in front of me, then I could read it back to people so that they can get it. I'm Gabe Ramirez, filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score. And... you know, it's always a pleasure when I get to talk that are as passionate about the White Sox as I am. I love talking to people like that, and this guy is no different. Let's welcome to the show, joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort and Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Of course, I'm talking about James Fox from the Sox Machine. James, what's up?
Hey, Gabe. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm searching the Twitter sphere, and then I see you tweeting out nice and bright and early about the White Sox lineup, and I look at my producer, and I say, can we get this guy on right now? I was like, because he's feeling my same heartbreak as we're talking about this lineup. What's your take on the lineup without two of these guys in there?
I mean, everybody keeps responding to me about you know, how they're not very good anyway. But I don't know. I don't get it. They're going to be the most well-rested team in October, like, golfing, I feel like, yeah, at this point. So, I mean, it's just – and, like, I get it a little bit early in the season, and those are two guys that were hurt specifically. But those are two guys that they need really bad to, like, start hitting against right-handed pitching. And I don't know. I feel like it – Tony La Russa – has always kind of managed this way where he plays a lot of guys and stuff, but he's managing this team like they're five games up in first place, and they're clearly not, obviously.
It's funny because I do think back to 2005, and I would see some of the lineups as the season was coming to an end, and I'd be asking the same questions. Like, I understand you don't want these guys playing, but we're in September right now. Like, these guys should be playing. And right now, obviously on the heels of August, Yasmani Grandal and Yoan Moncada should be in the lineup. I think you just said it best. You need some consistency from Grandal. You've gotten it from Moncada up to this point in the last month or so. He's been playing well, and you would love to keep that hot streak going. But Yasmani more so than Moncada, where I look at him and I'm like, no, I need you in there. I don't want Gavin. I don't want Reese McGuire in there. I want you in the lineup, getting at bats. And I understand that he caught yesterday, but again, you would want him to construct that lineup differently. We're talking to James Fox from Sox Machine. I got a question from the text line. It says, why should teams be scared of the White Sox? I love that question because I want to know the answer to it, James.
Well, I mean, I don't think they are. I think we keep looking at this schedule, right? And I'm guilty of it. And I'm like, man, this is like the soft part. This is the part where they're finally, you know, going to show us who they are, and they're going to go on their run, and we're all going to, like, laugh about how wrong we were. But I kind of feel like they play these bad teams, and the bad teams don't really care because they're like, okay, we can beat this White Sox team, and they've consistently done it. So, you know, I do think, like, the one thing I've fallen back on as far as, like, the American League Central, I think the White Sox have the best pitching. Obviously, you know, Lance Lynn has a bad one occasionally, or Lucas Giolito or whatever, but I mean, like, with the five that they have, they should have a chance every day. So that's, I guess, like, that's probably the answer, is that their pitching's good. But, I mean, look, it was supposed to be a team that hit the ball out of the ballpark, and yeah. I think that's, like, the biggest reason why they're 500 through 100 games, is that they don't hit the ball out of the ballpark, especially their own.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's where you and I agree. I mean, when you're looking at the starting five for the White Sox, it's tough for the other teams in the AL Central to compete in terms of what is potential output, what you think these guys are going to be doing. You got Cease, you got Kopech, Giolito should be pitching well, and then Cueto and Lynn, if you're even just talking about the back half of a starting five, they have the advantage in that sense. But where what you said that I completely wholeheartedly agree with, that not a lot of people are talking enough about, is the offensive production. You can't be down two. You can't be putting up three runs. I mean, you can because you won, but you would like for that to be, you know, 9-2 White Sox, 8-2. And that comes when you're hitting the long ball and you're just not seeing it enough with this squad. You're not seeing guys like Eloy putting it out there enough. And, you know, when you're going up against the Oakland A's, I mean, 30th in the league in batting average, 24th, they're above the White Sox in home runs. I mean, that should not be the case for a team that you want to be obviously far and above the best team in the AL Central. So it's hard to try to pinpoint, to answer the texter's question, why should you be scared of the Chicago White Sox? Now, maybe no one else is, but in terms of the AL Central, you're right. It is pitching. And when you're looking at this lineup, it's a bit frustrating because it's not producing the way it should. Where would you like to see the change, James, in this lineup? What does it look like to you?
Well, so, I mean, you know, obviously the trade deadline's Tuesday. Like, I don't expect anything major, but, I mean, they need to get more left-handed somehow. And, look, they're not going to, like, change the entire configuration of this team, like, with 60 games left. That's, like, an off-season project. I was hoping it was going to be an off-season project last year, and it wasn't. I mean, you know, Gavin Sheets had the big night last night. But, I mean, he just, you know, he hasn't produced enough, and your two lefties, Moncada and Grandal, who aren't playing today, haven't produced enough either. You know, so if they are to do something, I would think, like, some sort of left-handed hitting corner outfielder. You know, if the Giants decided to sell, I think Jock Peterson makes a lot of sense. You know, just like a guy like that, and who do they play over? I don't know. Like, maybe they play against righties instead of AJ Pollock. Like, yeah. at this point, it's all hands on deck, right? So, like, instead of going out and getting two relievers, and like, you can go get two relievers, that's fine. But, you know, they talk about how they need relief pitching, but they can't hit at all. And it's kind of like what you said. They, you know, if this team was hitting homers, we wouldn't be talking about the bad defense and all the mistakes made by Tony La Russa every night, because, you know, you'd be up 8-3 in games, and we just kind of wouldn't care as much as we've had to, like losing as many games as they have on the margins consistently.
We're talking to James Fox from the Sox Machine right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel. Dude, it's like you and I have the same takes on this whole thing. Because, you know, first going to the Giants thing, I feel like the Giants and the Sox are looking at each other like the Spider-Man meme. They're like, it's me, yeah. It's me, it's you. We're on the outside of the playoffs, but should we be sellers? I don't know. Are we buyers? Like, it's the Spider-Man meme all over again, because really, you're there. And then when you're looking at like a guy like Gavin, right? Because if you're looking for the left-handed bat and Jock Peterson, obviously he's over there in San Francisco, and you're saying to yourself, can you get somebody like that? But it's like, who are you going to be playing over? You know, Gavin Sheets, granted, what have you done for me lately? You just smacked the homer and tied up the game. That was great. I love seeing that. But what about the rest of the year? Games that you could have contributed to, you know, then. Don't get me wrong. I want Gavin to be that dude. He looks like he can be that monster. You know, obviously we see the power. We see what's there. But it's just a bit more consistency, a couple more hits, just so that way we don't have that sour taste in our mouths as Sox fans. And then when you're looking at the bullpen relief, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, granted, you know, with Bummer and Crochet, it sucks that the Sox bullpen is in this position, and obviously Reynaldo Lopez with the back issues. So you can bring somebody in, but who are they pitching over? How are you finding innings for these guys to make a difference? Are they going to be that much of a difference from the guys that you have on there now? You could say Ruiz, but Lambert's pitching well. It's like, that's what when I look at the pitching staff, I feel like they have the guys there, James. But it just seems, like you said, not being able to come together, for the whole team not being able to come together.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Rick Hahn would probably say, right, like the biggest additions would be like your own players playing better. And like, as frustrating as that is, like, it kind of needs to happen, because it's not like they can go out and do what Atlanta did, right? You can't go get three bats, because like, who are those guys going to play instead of? This is like a, you know, a symptom of like your own guys underachieving for an entire season. So yeah, like you could go out and get a Jock Peterson, or like I saw, you know, David Peralta went to the Rays yesterday. I thought that's a guy that would have fit. But I mean, if your own players don't pick it up, like it's probably not going to matter anyway. So, you know, like I'm not opposed to add it, like add pitching. Sure. Like contenders should always add more.
Right.
Contenders should always add more pitching. But if you're not going to do anything to this offense, I don't really understand what the point is.
So your Twitter sphere and replies have been going crazy with this team is bad anyway. But what do you see happening with this squad? I mean, do you still have faith in them that they win the AL Central? Do you feel like they'll eke into a wild card spot? Or do you think that they're just going to be, like you mentioned earlier, you know, being well rested to go fishing come October?
So, I mean, I think like they can win the Central, because I'm not a believer in the Minnesota Twins, and their system isn't really that good either to go out and get a bunch of reinforcements. Like Cleveland is dangerous, but they're 500 against everybody not named the White Sox. Like, this is the time. The White Sox need to go on a run and do this. Yes, they have a shot. And it's why I think like the thought of selling on Tuesday, like, just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I understand frustration. Like, you know, I remember White Flag, but I was a kid, you know, like this is like not the time to like sell off parts and like play for next year when you're three back of a playoff appearance. And I just feel like playoff appearances are sacred, because we've seen that, like, you know, if you get in, like, you can win the whole thing.
That's right. And you've seen the Sox 10 games out of the playoff run. And that's when you're a seller, not when you're three games out. Hey, James. Thanks for jumping on with me today in a pinch. I really appreciate you helping the show out today.
All right, Gabe. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
James Fox from Sox Machine and Future Sox. Make sure you check out his podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at JamesFox917. I'm Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run. Listen, he's right. You're three games out. You have to have the mindset. It has to be the same mindset as the Seattle Mariners. I understand you have talent in the farm system, guys that, you know, names that you hear, but that's just what they are, names. And if you want to put your, you want to put your team, you need to put your team in the best situation to compete, not only to win the AL Central, but to try to make a playoff run. They've tasted what, they know what playoffs taste like. They did that. And now you have to build on that. And if you miss the playoffs this year and take a step back, two steps back for that matter, it's gonna, it could be detrimental to the franchise. So Rick Hahn, I know he's doing his best. Of course he is. That's his job, right? Kenny, Jerry, I mean, they're all in it to make this team as good as they possibly can be. And as James mentioned, it sucks sometimes that injuries play a part. So what? Get these guys in here. Get the mind right. Let them put some new energy into that dugout.
Give me some Jazz Chisel, man. I've been so on that since you said that.
Dude.
He'd be so much fun on the South Side.
It'll be fun if we just make the playoffs.
I'll take that, too.
All right. On the other side of this, Bob Nightingale came on 670 with Inside the Clubhouse, and he had some interesting talk about some teams in the city of Chicago. Who did he favor? Who does he think is going to be in the best position next year? We'll find out on the other side. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hit and Run, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Usually Matt Spiegel is holding you down from 9 to 12. Today was a pinch hitter. I'm Gabe Ramirez, filling in on Hit and Run. And now we have an opportunity to hear from Bob Nightingale. He joined The Score yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse. And he was talking about what could be happening on the north side with some of these guys. I know we've been hearing a lot about where potential destinations can be, but here's Bob discussing some specific players.
Yeah, I do, Bruce. I think Cap will be gone. I mean, obviously you could hold on to him, but there's hardly, in such a thin market out there, you might as well see what you get, because all these contenders are scrambling to find help. I'm not sure the Cubs are going to get what they hope for Contreras. You're not hearing his name that much out there. I mean, you're hearing him with Houston. You're hearing him with the Mets. You're hearing him with San Diego. So I think a little few teams are leery just about the catching, you know, bringing in a guy to, you know, meet a new staff and things like that. Obviously, he's got the bat. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, last year I think everybody thought the Cubs would get a lot more for Chris Bryant, and that market just wasn't there.
Joined by Bob Nightingale from USA Today here and Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, David Hall, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock this morning. Bob, I understand the Soto stuff and the interest in a 23-year-old outfielder, and I guess I can understand why the Nationals at this stage of their franchise need to entertain offers. But I have to say, the Shohei Ohtani rumor and the reality that they're taking offers or listening to offers for him caught me a little bit off guard. I kind of get when you look at the contract clock and they can justify it, but we're talking about Shohei Ohtani, the guy who has done things that we haven't seen in baseball since Babe Ruth, and I just wonder, what are the Angels thinking?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the chance of Ohtani being traded now is the same as you, me, and Bruce starting the outfield for the Cubs next year. It's just not going to happen. But they, you know, they're listening because they don't know what's going to happen this winter. So at least now they can listen and see what teams are interested, what teams are willing to give up. And I'm not sure what you give up. But I think they need to find out this winter if he wants to stay or not. I mean, this guy makes money for the franchise just in merchandising and licensing and all that. I think he makes at least $20-25 million a year for the Angels. So he's only making 5.5 right now. So, you know, they'd have to, the Angels trade him, they'd have to give back money to everybody else. So we'll see what happens. You know, in talking to the Angels, front office, setting to a contract extension, they don't even know what it's worth. I mean, what do you give a guy like that? You know, 300, 400, 500? It's impossible to gauge what he's worth.
Bob, looking at the White Sox and their lack of solid play, their lack of energy. Now, nobody's had more injuries than they have, but other teams have survived with injuries. That said, what do you think is lacking there? You're tied into the White Sox as much as anybody in baseball. what do you think is lacking there? And did Tony talking to the players last year about him having to fit in with them, which he did, and they won a division, 93 games, did that take away the ability of the coaching staff and Tony to be able to change them to be a better, more alert base running team, a smarter team, a team that plays better defense? What's your thoughts? What's your information on that?
No, I think it's a valid point, Bruce. It's almost like when La Russa got there, he wanted to be accepted and welcomed so bad. Right. I think you dialed down his personality. It really helped that Abreu bought in. And he bought in because of Pujols. And now it's almost like you need to turn that switch. Like, it's embarrassing the way they're playing. You're in the one of the two worst divisions in baseball, and not to have a winning record and be losing home games to the Oakland A's just should not happen. So, you need some leadership in that clubhouse too. I mean, someone needs to be throwing some things around in there and just be disgusted with the way they're playing. I mean, even when they ran into that 8-5 triple play, I mean, it's one of the worst base running things you've ever seen. But you didn't see a whole lot of people upset about it. Just like, okay, it happens, and they keep saying, well, it's a long season. Hey, time's starting to run out here.
You're right, Bob. That's a great point. And that's why I ask, big picture-wise, it's so much fun in a town when you have a team that is going for it in World Series or bust mentality at the beginning of the season. Those were the stakes, and that was the mentality. But here we are, 100 games in. The White Sox are the definition of mediocrity. So I wonder this. There's still 48 hours or so, more than that, till the trade deadline. If the Sox somehow lose this home series to the A's and they wake up Monday morning, is there a scenario that you could see where the Sox are sellers at the deadline instead of buyers trying to go for it?
No, I can't see that. Unless Jerry Reinsdorf comes out and says, I'm selling the franchise on Monday. They're not going to do that under his watch. They just went through the rebuild. Nobody wants to be like your Tigers or Mariners, all these rebuilds all the time, Kansas City. All those rebuilds don't work. The White Sox did, but can we hit a wall here? But no, I fully expect him to get one starter out there. They got to kind of cross their fingers that, their starting rotation gets better, particularly with Giolito and Lynn.
Bob, are you a proponent of the trading deadline either being backed up or just kind of just being watered down a little bit? I don't see and David and I were talking about this a little bit before you came on as well. I don't see with the expanded playoffs now that the teams like the Giants and teams like the Cubs and not the Cubs but the White Sox in a different scenario don't need that extra time to figure out whether or not they're still a viable team. A week from now, the Giants could be 6 or 7 games out of the third wild card and regret the fact that they hung on to Rodon or they hung on to Jock Peterson when they could have gotten pieces back for the future. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the two teams that jump out are the Giants and the Red Sox, who both have a lot of nice pieces that teams want. And they don't know whether they're in the race or not. The Red Sox have said we're not trading Bogaerts or Devers, but could trade Eovaldi, J.D. Martinez, and on and on. I think you talk to some GMs executives, they'd like to see the trade deadline pushed back to, say, August 15th because there's no more second deadline. You can't clear waivers, that sort of thing. That's gone. So why not just move it back 2 weeks? Your point, Bruce, just to let teams know whether they're in or out.
You talk about
trading.
Go ahead, Bruce.
I'm sorry, David, to step on you there. What's the point of a trading deadline period?
Well, I think nothing ever happens unless there's a deadline. There's, some sort of free agent deadline. Look at these trades. Why do we have to wait the last few days before August 2nd for anything to happen? It's like, it's almost like, we're working a story or broadcast. It's like you're not going to really get going on it unless there's a time. Like, okay, I got to get this done.
Bob, you look at the standings and you talk about teams that are disappointing, and the San Francisco Giants fit that description. They're 2 games under 500 as we sit here this morning. And I just wonder, is there a scenario where you see them conceding or them looking to flip a guy like Carlos Rodon or Jock Peterson, two names that Chicago baseball fans know well and would find very, very interesting if they are available.
Yeah, I think they got to take a good hard look at themselves. I mean, they, I think since the month of April, they're, just looked this up, 11 or 12 games under 500. So it's been a continuing pattern. I think they got to listen to offers on both those guys and decide. You know, Peterson's on the injury list now with a concussion. You know, he's been struggling of late. You know, and we'll see about Rodon. I mean, obviously, he's got a history of not being great in the second half, struggling down the stretch as far as just getting tired. But still, with so the starting pitching market so thin, I would think they make out, you know, pretty decent for him. I think that's why the Red Sox will probably trade Nathan Eovaldi just for that reason as well.
Bob, in closing with you, and David and I sure appreciate your time and your friendship all the time. What do you think the White Sox end up doing by the when the trade line hits on Tuesday?
I think they get a starting pitcher. You know, like Quintana's perfect. Just someone to, you know, fill out that back end of rotation. You know, I think the rotation going into the season looked like it had a chance to be dominant. It hasn't been. You know, remember in spring training, you know, they're talking Giolito won a long-term contract extension, but, you know, just has not, you know, pitched up to like he has in the past. Same with Lynn, but Lynn, of course, is coming off an injury. So, but I fully expect him to go get a starting pitcher and maybe one more a bullpen piece as well.
And last thing, Bob, is there any scenario that you see the Cubs holding on or unable to pull off a trade involving Wilson Contreras, and we have to go through a few more months after saying all these long goodbyes? Hello again, old friend.
I know, I was talking to Anthony Rizzo about that the other day. Like, that'd be a little embarrassing that he's, you know, back at Wrigley Field, still with the Cubs. I can't see it. The only way is if, you know, they don't get any solid offers that's better than a draft choice that they'll get back. So they should do better than that. But remember last year, it kind of came down the last hour with Bryant.
Yep.
They're almost going to hold on to him because they were getting nothing as he anticipated. But I think the story will be different this time. Just there's not enough position players out there. And, you know, you can catch, you can DH, you can do a number of things. So, you know, I'd really be surprised, maybe not shocked, if he wasn't trained.
Of course, that's Bob Nightingale on Inside the Clubhouse with David Haw and Bruce Levine. I'm Gabe Ramirez, filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run. And got to say our thank yous. Thank you to Bruce Levine, who jumped on the show early today, 9 o'clock, to help us out. Of course, Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network. Lawrence Holmes from Bernsey and Holmes jumping on with me today. And, of course, James Fox sharing in my fandom for the Chicago White Sox from Sox Machine. I want to thank my producer extraordinaire, Sean Sears. Phenomenal job today, holding it down.
Hey, same to you, man.
Love your franchise-altering players.
Shohei's coming, man.
Shohei, that's what everybody wants. Hey, if you want to listen to more of me, go down the dial. I'll be on B96 from 12 to 5 o'clock today, all right? So make sure you guys check me out. I'll also be back on 670 The Score Monday, 6 o'clock, to give you guys some more sports stories and hopefully talking about the Sox winning their series against the A's. The Cubs play today against the Giants. 6:08, first pitch right here on The Score. Pregame starts at 5:30 with Zach Zaman, so hopefully you guys are sticking around for that. Hasta la próxima, mi gente. Until next time, I will see you later. Have a good Sunday.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The side. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hit and Run Sunday mornings 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Usually Matt Spiegel is holding you down from 9 to 12. Today was a pinch hitter. I'm Gabe Ramirez filling in on Hit and Run. And now we have an opportunity to hear from Bob Nightingale. He joined The Score yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse, and he was talking about what could be happening on the north side with some of these guys. I know we've been hearing a lot about where potential destinations can be, but here's Bob discussing some specific players.
Yeah, I do, Bruce. I think Cap will be gone. I mean, obviously you could hold on to him, but there's hardly, in such a thin market out there, you might as well see what you get, because all these contenders are scrambling to find help. I'm not sure the Cubs are going to get what they hope for Contreras. You're not hearing his name that much out there. I mean, you're hearing him with Houston. You're hearing him with the Mets. You're hearing him with San Diego. So I think a little few teams are leery just about the catching, you know, bringing in a guy to, you know, meet a new staff and things like that. Obviously, he's got the bat. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, last year I think everybody thought the Cubs would get a lot more for Chris Bryant. And that market just wasn't there.
Joined by Bob Nightingale from USA Today here and Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, David Hall, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock this morning. Bob, I understand the Soto stuff and the interest in a 23-year-old outfielder, and I guess I can understand why the Nationals at this stage of their franchise need to entertain offers. But I have to say, the Shohei Ohtani rumor and the reality that they're taking offers or listening to offers for him caught me a little bit off guard. I kind of get the, when you look at the contract clock and they can justify it, but we're talking about Shohei Ohtani, the guy who has done things that we haven't seen in baseball since Babe Ruth, and I just wonder, what are the Angels thinking?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the chance of Ohtani being traded now is the same as you, me, and Bruce starting the outfield for the Cubs next year. It's just not going to happen. But they, you know, they're listening because they don't know what's going to happen this winter. So at least now they can listen and see what teams are interested, what teams are willing to give up. And I'm not sure what you give up, but I think they need to find out this winter if he wants to stay or not. This guy makes money for the franchise, just in merchandising and licensing and all that. I think he makes at least $20, $25 million a year for the Angels. So he's only making 5.5 right now. So, you know, they'd have to, the Angels trade him, they'd have to give back money to everybody else. So we'll see what happens. You know, in talking to the Angels, front office, signing to a contract extension, they don't even know what it's worth. I mean, what do you give a guy like that? You know, $300, $400, $500? It's impossible to gauge what he's worth.
Bob, looking at the White Sox and their lack of solid play, their lack of energy. Now, nobody's had more injuries than they have, but other teams have survived with injuries. That said, what do you think is lacking there? You're tied into the White Sox as much as anybody in baseball. What do you think is lacking there? And did Tony talking to the players last year about him having to fit in with them, which he did, and they won a division, 93 games, did that take away the ability of the coaching staff and Tony to be able to change them to be a better, more alert base-running team, a smarter team, a team that plays better defense? What's your thoughts? What's your information on that?
No, I think it's a valid point, Bruce. It's almost like when La Russa got there, he wanted to be accepted and welcomed so bad.
Right.
I think you dialed down his personality. It really helped that Abreu bought in. And he bought in because of Pujols. And now it's like, it's almost like you need to turn that switch. Like, it's embarrassing the way they're playing. You're in the, one of the two worst divisions in baseball, and not to have a winning record and be losing home games to the Oakland A's just should not happen. So, you need some leadership in that clubhouse too. I mean, someone needs to be throwing some things around in there and just be disgusted with the way they're playing. I mean, even, when they ran into that 8-5 triple play, I mean, it's one of the worst base running things you've ever seen. But you didn't see a whole lot of people upset about it. Just like, okay, it happens, and they keep saying, well, it's a long season. Hey, time's starting to run out here.
You're right, Bob. That's a great point. And that's why I ask, big picture-wise, it's so much fun in a town when you have a team that is going for it in World Series or bust mentality at the beginning of the season. Those were the stakes, and that was the mentality. But here we are, 100 games in. The White Sox are the definition of mediocrity. So I wonder this. There's still 48 hours or so, more than that, till the trade deadline. If the Sox somehow lose this home series to the A's and they wake up Monday morning, is there a scenario that you could see where the Sox are sellers at the deadline instead of buyers trying to go for it?
No, I can't see that. Unless Jerry Reinsdorf comes out and says, I'm selling the franchise on Monday. They're not going to do that under his watch. They just went through the rebuild. Nobody wants to be like the Tigers or Mariners, all these rebuilds all the time. Kansas City. All those rebuilds don't work. The White Sox did, but can we hit a wall here? But no, I fully expect him to get one starter out there. They got to kind of cross their fingers that, their starting rotation gets better, particularly with Giolito and Lynn.
Bob, are you a proponent of the trading deadline either being backed up or just kind of just being watered down a little bit? I don't see and David and I were talking about this a little bit before you came on as well. I don't see with the expanded playoffs now that the teams like the Giants and teams like the Cubs and not the Cubs but the White Sox in a different scenario don't need that extra time to figure out whether or not they're still a viable team. A week from now, the Giants could be 6 or 7 games out of the third wild card and regret the fact that they hung on to Rodon or they hung on to Jock Peterson when they could have gotten pieces back for the future. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, the two teams that jump out are the Giants and the Red Sox, who both have a lot of nice pieces that teams want. And they don't know whether they're in the race or not. I mean, the Red Sox have said we're not trading Bogart or Devers, but, could trade Eovaldi, J.D. Martinez, and on and on. I think you talk, to some GMs, executives, they like to see the trade deadline pushed back to, say, August 15th, because there's no more second deadline. You can't clear waivers, that sort of thing. That's gone. So why not just move it back 2 weeks? Your point, Bruce, just to let teams know whether they're in or out.
You talk about
trading.
Go ahead, Bruce.
I'm sorry, David, to step on you there. What's the point of a trading deadline period?
Well, I think nothing ever happens unless there's a deadline. There's, free agent deadline. I mean, look at these trades. Why do we have to wait the last few days before August 2nd for anything to happen? It's like, it's almost like, working a story or broadcast. It's like you're not going to really get going on it unless there's a time. Like, okay, I got to get this done.
Bob, you look at the standings and you talk about teams that are disappointing, and the San Francisco Giants fit that description. They're 2 games under 500 as we sit here this morning. And I just wonder, is there a scenario where you see them conceding or them looking to flip a guy like Carlos Rodon or Jock Peterson, two names that Chicago baseball fans know well and would find very, very interesting if they are available?
Yeah, I think they got to take a good hard look at themselves. I mean, I think since the month of April, they're just looked this up, 11 or 12 games under 500. So it's been a continuing pattern. I think they got to listen to offers on both those guys and decide. Peterson's on the injury list now with a concussion. He's been struggling of late. And we'll see about Rodon. I mean, obviously, he's got a history of not being great in the second half. Struggling down the stretch as far as just getting tired. But still, with so the starting pitching market so thin, I would think they make out, you know, pretty decent for him. I think that's why the Red Sox will probably trade Nathan Eovaldi just for that reason as well.
Bob, in closing with you, and David and I sure appreciate your time and your friendship all the time. What do you think the White Sox end up doing when the trade line hits on Tuesday?
I need to get a starting pitcher. You know, like Quintana's perfect. Just someone to, you know, fill out that back end of the rotation. You know, I think the rotation going into the season looked like it had a chance to be dominant. And it hasn't been. You know, remember in spring training, you know, they're talking Giolito won a long-term contract extension, but, you know, just has not, you know, pitched up to like he has in the past. Same with Lynn, but Lynn, of course, is coming off an injury. So, but I fully expect him to go get a starting pitcher and maybe one more a bullpen piece as well.
And last thing, Bob, is there any scenario that you see the Cubs holding on or unable to pull off a trade involving Wilson Contreras, and we have to go through a few more months after saying all these long goodbyes? Hello again, old friend.
I know, I was talking to Anthony Rizzo about that the other day. Like, that'd be a little embarrassing that he's, you know, back at Wrigley Field, still with the Cubs. I can't see it. The only way is if, you know, they don't get any solid offers that's better than a draft choice that they'll get back. So they should do better than that. But remember last year, it kind of came down the last hour with Bryant.
Yep.
They're almost going to hold on to him because they were getting nothing as he anticipated. But I think the story would be different this time. Just there's not enough position players out there. And, you know, you can catch, you can DH, you can do a number of things. So, you know, I'd really be surprised, maybe not shocked, if he wasn't traded.
Of course, that's Bob Nightingale on Inside the Clubhouse with David Hall and Bruce Levine. I'm Gabe Ramirez, filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run. And got to say our thank yous. Thank you to Bruce Levine, who jumped on the show early today, 9 o'clock, to help us out. Of course, Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network. Lawrence Holmes from Burnsy and Holmes jumping on with me today. And, of course, James Fox, sharing in my fandom for the Chicago White Sox from Sox Machine. I want to thank my producer extraordinaire, Sean Sears. Phenomenal job today holding it down.
Hey, same to you, man.
Love your franchise-altering players.
Shohei's coming, man.
Shohei, that's what everybody wants. Hey, if you want to listen to more of me, go down the dial. I'll be on B96 from 12 to 5 o'clock today, all right? So make sure you guys check me out. I'll also be back on 670 The Score Monday, 6 o'clock, to give you guys some more sports stories and hopefully talking about the Sox winning their series against the A's. The Cubs play today against the Giants. 6:08, first pitch right here on The Score. Pregame starts at 5:30 with Zach Zaman, so hopefully you guys are sticking around for that. Hasta la próxima, mi gente. Until next time, I will see you later. Have a good Sunday.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.